Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, time for our next guest, who is, you got a graduation party going on in Lincoln? Invite Steve Sipple. He'll show up. He will. He's just a very big, wouldn't that be cool to say that Steve Sipple came to your graduation party? I know you
would
had
he bring
a
gift.
I know you had one last weekend. Good morning, Sip.
How are you guys doing? We got to talk. I'm a little worried about the phone situation. I got about 8%, so we got to roll.
Let's get right to it.
Are you in your car?
I am.
Do you not have a charger?
Pull off
do you not have right a char- do you not do you not have a charger in your car?
No, I mean it's scrambling this morning. No. I should, you know.
What's
up? Parker Gabriel.
Yeah.
You don't remember Parker?
We just talked to him.
He has very low tolerance for when I would show up like somewhere at 8:30. And my phone wasn't charged. Like, don't you charge it all night? Aren't you ready for the day? Don't you need to be ready for the day? Yeah, I do.
He was short. He was, even though he was not technically, he was like your big brother. He was always looking out for you.
Easy on that.
Hey, by the way,
you were going to say he was my boss.
No. We miss him dearly. We miss you in the paper, but happy birthday, by the way. I'm pretty sure that July 1 or June 1 is the 1 year anniversary of On 3.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Did you not know that? Yeah. You guys didn't celebrate? Gascan didn't take you to Misty's or anything like that?
Now that you mention it, no. But I'll be sure to call Sean after. Our call when I get my phone charged.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to make this quick. So I'll talk really, really fast. Okay.
Yeah. Talk fast.
Okay. Before we talk about Tominaga, so Nebraska baseball ends and it's another year of no postseason for the three main men's sports, football, men's basketball, baseball, even though there's a tint of optimism into 24 with football and men's basketball, and then whatever becomes of baseball. But what do you think, because you talk to them, you hear from them, what do you think the last couple of years and all this losing has done to the Nebraska fan base?
I think it's complicated. I think humans are complicated, and I think the reaction, I don't think you want to paint that, I don't want to paint it with a broad brush because not everybody reacts to these things the same. I mean, I can kind of speak for myself. And, you know, it's interesting you asked, and this is what my mind is going to. I did sit down with Ted Carter, the university assistant president, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this topic came up that the big men's sports need to start producing. And we're talking about men's basketball, baseball, and football. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to emphasize that Ted Carter's very optimistic. And he did remind me that Will Bolt won the Big Ten 2 years ago. Will Bolt set a pretty high bar for himself with that season, where it was all league games. Remember, it was all league games. They were pretty much all league games. And they won the Big Ten, and it was impressive. And what they did against Arkansas was impressive. And then he just followed it up with a clunker of a year. And Will said, look, we took a step forward this year, and they did, but that wasn't hard to do. So I guess I'll just say how I feel about it. And I would say I'm concerned. I mean, I think it's concerning because there's an acceptance that I sometimes pick up on. There's an acceptance, and that's scary. It's hard to sort of put into words, and it's hard to quantify. But I noticed it in football with the talent discussion, where that's where I noticed it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't, it's not alarming to people that Nebraska no longer produces All-Americans. It just doesn't. There's just no All-Americans in football. That's what it takes. And now we're in sort of this, I think it's a little bit scary period right now where Nebraska's having trouble getting those players that you would perceive as program changers. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get them here. The losing's been, it's been substantial enough that it's concerning. So, and then the other thing I'd add, what Ted said, is Nebraska's positioned well nationally. You know, we all know what's going on around the country. There's haves and have-nots. And it's starting to become more easy to make the distinction between haves and have-nots. Nebraska is on the right side of that conversation. They're haves. But the thing that would, and this is what Ted Carter said, it was interesting. I asked him, why would Nebraska ever feel threatened? And he said, well, probably the only thing would be sustained losing, and then the fan base loses interest, or there's a there's a clear loss of interest. It wouldn't be complete, but there'd be enough that then you'd worry. So there's no, I don't think anybody's being alarmist here, but eventually the tide's got to turn.
And with that, Sip, just your opinion, your gut reaction on it. Out of the three, who do you think is on the better path? Who do you think seems to have the quicker solution or the quicker fix, and can, you know, then sustain?
God, I wish I had a clear answer. I felt really good about the Will Bolt hire.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really good about it. In fact, I pushed for it, and I still feel good about it. But his team doesn't look like what I envisioned.
Yeah.
It doesn't play like I envision. It doesn't have the hard edge that I thought would accompany a Will Bolt team. I thought it would be much like Dave Van Horn,
right. Who,
and it just doesn't. I'm probably not close enough to it to try to identify why. I really have a lot of confidence in Rhule.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a tougher. He's just going to be in a really tough situation with those divisions going away. Fred, I think Fred's going to have a pretty good team. Fred did a good job of setting the bar incredibly low. I mean, like.
You're right.
He set the bar to a point where if they go 500, people are saying, see, they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're better than they were, but they were preposterously bad for 2 years. I don't know. I didn't really give you an answer. I guess I would say Rhule, because of the way he's going about it, which is we're gonna be a tough running team. We're gonna do the little things that enable us to win the close games. Now it's easy to say that stuff. And we're going to win games in the fourth quarter. That's the formula. And Trev knew what he was getting. And I like the plan. So I'd say out of those three, I'm most confident in Rhule.
Well, I will say one thing about Rhule. Rhule has, in a short amount of time, and we've talked about this, he has left no stone unturned. The amount of people that he has picked their brain on why it hasn't worked here at Nebraska and taken mental notes and physical notes is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because most people walk in and go, I got a plan. I got a blueprint. I've done it before. This is what I can do. That he has gone out of his way to learn more about why it has not worked here. So let's go back to basketball. What's the initial impact that is non-on-the-floor related when Keisei Tominaga says he's coming back?
Excitement. It's exciting. Keisei's an exciting player, and he invigorates the crowd. And invigorates the whole program, I would guess. I'm not around to practice, but he's invigorating his body language, his clear love for the game. And then, he's a legit scorer. He averaged, he shot 51%. That's the stat that always jumps out at me. with K-State. He shot 51% from the field. And you know, why is that? You know why it's impressive? Because he's not that big. He has to work pretty hard to get shots. And he's off and often shooting from long range. Not as much as he used to. One of the things that Fred Hoiberg has done a good job of, and K-State's done a good job of, is learning how to move without the ball. And now K-State is good in the mid-range, and he's good getting to the hoop. I mean, he just developed his game. But I'd say the main thing is just excitement. And they're going to be a bear. They're going to be a bear to defend. Now, they got to defend, too. Mm-hmm. They have to play defense. But they're going to be hard to defend with that roster he's put together. And I'm thinking about the kid from Charlotte coming in, and I'm thinking of DeMarcus Lawrence, and I'm thinking about the kid from Bradley coming in. They have shooters that they can't. It's going to be hard. I think Fred took a lot of pressure off K-State in the offseason, the way he put the roster together. It's K-State, you can't. I mean, the defense is going to have a hard time focusing a lot of energy on K-State because there's other shooters out there. So it's going to be real. I think Nebraska is going to be very hard to defend.
Sip, any major reactions from the schedule yesterday and the overall dates? Exposure for Nebraska, especially early on with Matt Rhule. Any major takeaways there?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not major because everybody's talking about Nebraska caught a break against Colorado playing. You know, Colorado's got to play at 10 a.m. No, I don't think any player would tell you they like doing that. There might be some early risers that would say it, but not many. So they caught a break there. The most interesting part of this discussion to me, and it's, I don't know. Now, listen, you're talking to a 56-year-old, and I've talked to other guys my age, and they're sort of, I don't want to say aghast, but what's the Big Ten doing putting some games stream only on Peacock? I mean, if you're a Michigan
Michigan
fan,
State, Washington,
they're going to play East Carolina on Peacock.
Yep.
And that's not, you know, you got to stream it. That's on TV. I don't think the coaches would like that. Delaware is going to play Penn State on Peacock. And it's not on TV. You know, not conventional TV. That's a part of the overall game plan with this, you know, with the new television deal that the Big Ten has. I can't believe that fans are that fired up about it.
Well, Washington's a top 15 team. You don't think that you, me, everybody else wants to over the air watch Washington, Michigan State? I'm with you, Sip. We're streaming is the future. I get it. There's more. There's revenue to be had there. We stream our television shows, but there's just something about our college football and our NFL and streaming and not being able to watch it, and especially that game with a top 15 team, that the only way I'm getting it is I got to sign up for Peacock. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's good for the sport.
No, I don't think it is either. I don't think it's good from a fan standpoint. I bet the coaches don't like it. I mean, you're shutting out of it. You are. I know younger people are going to listen to the old man. Now, there's a lot of people that are just saying, I'm not going to bother with it. I don't understand why they're doing that. But I think, it's going to happen more and more.
Hey, speaking of, just a little side note on that Colorado game, there's a story to be told about how that game came together because Fox had to ask for permission from Colorado. For Colorado to play at 10 a.m. local, if Deion would have said, no, we are not playing that early, then that game is up in the air on when the kickoff is going to be. But Colorado immediately agreed to play that game at 10 a.m. local time.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm pleased that they did, but what other time would it be? Would this be a mid-afternoon kickoff somewhere?
Probably, but I think it actually works out because the marquee game of the day is Texas-Alabama. Now, week two schedule is much greater than week number one. I don't have a problem with it. It's just schools that like Nebraska and Colorado that have this opportunity to grab exposure, man, I would every day that ends in Y, I would sign up for it. That's why I like Nebraska's schedule, because the first 2 weeks, they're going to have a big stage that they haven't gotten on a regular basis. They got a Thursday night kind of standalone game. Utah, Florida's competition, but it's Thursday night. It's Fox. You get Gus and Joel. And then you get the build into this game that'll be, 95% Colorado, but you get then people are going to watch because they're intrigued, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, Nebraska's got a new coach as well. Hey, let me get you out here on this because I want to go back to something you mentioned about recruiting because I've heard you talk about Brandon Baker all week. He's the 5-star from Southern California offensive lineman that Nebraska had interest in, and I think the interest was a two-way street. But as he gets on the tour of the country, people are like, this guy is a dude. I have seen crystal balls now for Oregon. What does it take to get a guy like that, who is what you labeled as a program changer? When do you start getting those guys, that it's realistic, Sip, that that guy isn't just, hey, Nebraska, I love what they're doing, they're recruiting me, but I'm going to go to Oregon. When, what makes that guy say, nope, Nebraska's the place for me?
Well, the easy answer is winning. It's just then you got to get into how much winning. I mean, what is it going to take, multiple years or just one season of 8 wins, or is it 7? What's the threshold? There's just got to be something other than, yeah, we think we're going to turn it around here. Yeah, I think there's got to be discernible progress. It's easy to see. So that, I think it's that. It is. I mean, I did sit down with Baker twice. Mm-hmm. He interviewed on our show with Sean Callahan and I. And I know that there was genuine interest. I know because he would ask Sean a lot of questions. I mean, he would ask Sean questions off the air about Nebraska and just questions that you wouldn't ask if you weren't interested. I think there is genuine interest. He is saying, I guess he said yesterday that he is interested in Nebraska. He didn't put them down as a finalist or put them down somewhere he's going to make an official visit, because he's visited here twice. And I just think he feels he doesn't need to visit again. He's seen a lot of it. Yeah. He's been here twice. He's soaked it in. Do I think they're going to get him? No, I don't. I never really thought Nebraska had a great chance, 50-50 at the most, I guess. I heard him. I know that there was genuine interest, but listen, he would be taking a big chance at this point, right?
Yeah.
That's just the reality. He would be taking a big chance that he doesn't have to take. You know, he just doesn't have to. He can go virtually anywhere he wants. So that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Sip, we appreciate it. Happy birthday to the On Three guys. We'll expect a party.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, guys.
Have a great weekend. That is Stephen M. Sipple.
What do you think? 2%? 3%
left? Shout out to his battery.
3% left of the battery?
I thought we could get
Should
two.
We maybe text him?
Is he like of the 2%ers that don't have a cord in their car?
Maybe. Don't you? I mean,
we're getting Sip a Christmas gift.
Would you say it's greater than 90% of Americans, or hell, people in the world that charge their phone overnight?
Yeah.
How do you get down to 8%?
So do you think also the people that ride their gas tank all the way down are also the Sipples of the world that ride the battery all the way down?
Yes.
Because there is a...
And then they act shocked when they run out of gas.
But isn't there like, there's something to be said, I know this has been said, if you're having some poor performance with your phone, to let the battery actually wear all the way down and then you charge it. I've never done that. I don't like doing that. It's like when my tank is that empty, I'm like, I can't risk it.
I get panicked if I don't have a full charge when I wake up in the morning.
Same.
Yep.
Don't like it.
It's happened before, too. I'm like, oh, I thought I charged it.
You know, these new iPhones there, Nick, they hold the charge pretty well.
Do they?
Yeah.
You know what? So does the Droid. So does the Galaxy.
I'm at 97%. I haven't charged it since I left the house
three hours ago. Now, see, my Galaxy, this is an S10, so it's a little bit older. It's at 77%.
That's not good. You need to charge it.
I don't need to charge it yet.
I used to know...
It's better than 8%.
I used to know somebody. I mean, I guess I still know this person when it came to gas, because we all try and tempt fate.
Sure.
That once they get to halfway, they got to stop at the gas station.
No.
Well, that's
not living. You're not living. So
I'd say quarter.
I would say most of us now have the cars that it tells you how many miles till E. So my wife's car, it's a 2017. I was driving it one day and it was like at 15. And I had not gone 15 miles. Hell, I don't even think I went a mile. All of a sudden, it just went blank. And then I'm like, what? So then I was like, okay, I need to find a gas station, because it went ghost on me. Like, what the hell is going to happen? Because I don't want to be that guy that has to pull over and then you go out.
Man, that poor bastard ran out of gas. Look at him with a tank.
I did that one time in college. That was just because I didn't have a lot of money. Gas was one of those things that you got when you absolutely needed it.
Our new drivers are missing out on the time when you... not only run out of gas, but you also would lock your keys in the car.
Yeah.
Those were the days. It's
virtually impossible.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Coming up in the next hour, C.J. Moore will stop by. A flurry of activity yesterday with the NBA draft deadline, beneficial to Creighton, especially Kalkbrenner and Alexander, and also Nebraska. So we'll get C.J.'s thoughts when he joins us at 9:20. Then Brian Edwards as well with his thoughts on the line for tonight's game between the Heat and the Nuggets. It's bounced back from 8.5 to 9. And we got some numbers because some people think that's disrespectful to the Heat. But if you look at game ones of the NBA Finals and the favored team and the home team, maybe it's not. That's all coming up before we turn it off on a June 1 edition. Mornings with Sharp and Handley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.